Well, good morning and almost Happy New Year. In fact, how many sleeps are there still left till you ring in the new year? Think, count. Are any of you going to New Year's parties this year? Come on, raise your hand. We're going to have an interactive service because I see youth and children. So, kids, how many of you are going to have a party in 2 days? Excellent. Thank you, Naomi. Oh, Grayson. Excellent. See, there's a few people, all right, that will be ringing in the new year. And how many of you like making New Year's resolutions? I see. Oh, you guys don't make New Year's resolutions? Okay. Because you know what? Often, I'm a regular gym goer. Often when I go to the gym in January, the place is packed. So many new people. Like, you know, if you're a regular, you know the regulars, and then the new people stick out, right? So all of us regulars, we have this routine that we implement in January so that we can get into the classes we want to go before they fill up. Now, I understand from the hand raising here, not everyone is into making New Year's resolutions. I get that. But how many of you, and when the new year comes, you think about something you want to change, something that would be better for your well-being, maybe your physical body, right? Some people don't go out and buy gym membership. I get that. But how many are going to say, okay, I'm going to walk more, or I'm going to take the stairs more, or, okay, I'm going to eat more healthy. Anybody do that? Am I the only one? How many say, I'm going to get more sleep and game less? You guys. So today, I also am reminded that we are human beings. That means we have a physical body, but also a spiritual body. So if you look at the title of the sermon today, it's titled, New Year Resolutions That Are Good for the Soul, right? Because, yes, we have a physical body, but we have a spiritual body as well. And often we forget that when we're making some New Year's resolution type stuff, we forget the well-being of our soul, as in our spiritual well-being. And in fact, our spiritual well-being has many impacts on a person's life. For fun, I actually went to Google, and their AI generated this thing for me, because I asked, what are the impacts when you are spiritual well-being, what are the impacts? Now, I am pointing this, but it is not going for some reason. Next slide. So this is what Google answered. Apparently, there's lots of good stuff when you are spiritual well. So spiritual well-being, firstly, can help people cope with stress and feeling inner peace. Then I found out spiritual well-being can lead to a decreased depression and anxiety. That's great for mental health, right? Also, spiritual well-being can lead to a better physical health. So those two are not disconnected. And then spiritual well-being can lead to healthier connections with others. Of course, that one I think is self-explanatory. The other one is spiritual well-being can help people develop a sense of purpose in life, especially when you hear God speak His will into your life. Then you have spiritual well-being can help people to be more self-compassionate. Because as you get to know God more, you find out He's very compassionate, and you don't beat yourself up that much, right? Because we're very good at beating ourselves up, I find. And then spiritual well-being can help people respond to situations with more creativity, less reactivity, according to Google. That's a good thing. Lastly, I found that spiritual well-being can help people learn to see the beauty in everyday life. I think those are all positive things, things to aspire to. Now let's get to practicality, and let's find out some things that the Bible might have to say that helps us cultivate the spiritual well-being. What are some things that we can start to do? Maybe part of your New Year resolution. You can resolve to do them more, because maybe you already do them. Or you could be more consistent in order to do them, to feed your soul properly. So please turn with me to Psalm 100. We're going to have the next slide. Psalm 100 is in the middle of your Bible. So if you turn with me, we're going to actually read, because we didn't do scripture reading, we're going to read the psalm. Because the Bible actually says in Isaiah 55:11 that God's word does not return empty to him. So let's read this very short psalm. We're going to read it twice. We're going to read it out loud, and we're going to use different translations, different Bible translations. I've highlighted some action verbs. So kids, when you see words in red, would you say them extra loud? They are action verbs. Actually, there are six, but I've only highlighted four because we don't have time to do six today. So let's stand for the reading of Psalm 100. And kids, get ready to read those red things loudly, okay? Let's go together. A psalm of thanks. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with joy. Come before him with singing. Know that the Lord is God. He made us, and we belong to him. We are his people, the sheep he tends. Come into his city with songs of thanksgiving, and into his courtyards with songs of praise. Thank him and praise him. The Lord is good. His love is forever, and his loyalty goes on and on and on and on and on. Okay, don't sit yet. We're going to read it again, this time in the NASB. Kids, get ready. Ready? Okay. A psalm for thanksgiving. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with jubilation. Come before him with rejoicing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courtyards with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you in the matchless name of Jesus. You are our good Father, our Maker, infinite in all your ways. You are mighty, all-powerful, and you interact with us on a daily basis. So we seek today to get to know you better, and we seek to have your words change our lives. So would you, Holy Spirit, cleanse me, remove anything that should not be said, and use my words, O Lord, to transform both myself and the hearers. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, you're going to get to know this psalm very well. It's the theme psalm of ECAC's 55th anniversary. By the way, those who've been paying attention, when is this celebration, this grand celebration going to happen? I hear September, I hear October. When is it? Thank you. Thanksgiving next year. So, like, don't book a vacation during that long weekend, okay? ECAC is having a 55th anniversary. This is the theme song, all right? Now, let's dive into it so you still have your Bibles open. We're just going to start off with some general questions before we go dive deeper. And those two questions are just some preliminary ones, such as, to whom is this psalm addressed? And of whom does it speak? Aren't you curious? Now, easy. So kids, you can join here. Who do you think it's addressed to? Come on, it's interactive. We have kids here. Those who are sitting in the front are paying extra attention. Ari, I'm looking at you. Who's it addressed to? Guess. It's addressed to all the earth. Yes. So like, it's for everyone, right? All nations, all stages, all ages. So all of us sitting here today at ECAC. It actually implies that the benefits for incorporating what this psalm says to do, if we're incorporated into our lives, no matter where you are in your life stage and no matter what is going on, you're actually going to reap the benefits. Okay, question two, another easy one. Of whom does it speak? Of whom does it speak? Who's the subject here? The Lord, thank you. See, easy, only easy. Because, you know, there's no Sunday school today, so you're all sitting here. Easy answers. It speaks of the Lord. The Lord, when it says there in capital letters in your Bible, it's God's personal name. It's represented in Hebrew by the four consonants, YHWH, Yahweh. And it's considered too holy to pronounce audibly. It's based on the verb to be, okay? So this psalm, it directs our attention to the personal, okay, the personal name of God. And I would say that you can't appreciate Psalm 100 or apply its message deeply if you don't know the one of whom it speaks. Because the more you become intimately acquainted with the Almighty, the infinite Creator, I believe the deeper this song resonates in your soul. Okay, now we're done our general observations. Let's dive verse by verse. So if you have your Bibles open, we're going to go to verse 1. Verse 1 says, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. So the composer here calls for the kind of shouting that erupts from a person that is so full of joy that he can't contain his emotion. Okay, this kind of uninhibited cheering. Where do you hear this? I'll tell you where you hear it. Not at church, unfortunately. You hear it from fans. Just imagine, if the Oilers win the Stanley Cup, do you think you're going to hear lots of shouting? I bet you will. So this psalm says, in effect, shout in joyful approval. You know, joyful approval of God, okay? And yes, you usually don't shout, okay? When have you ever shouted after a sermon on God's attributes? I have never heard it, and I've been coming to church a long time. It's okay, it's okay. I'm not suggesting you start shouting, but I am going to challenge us all, including myself, this year, that starts in 2 days, I mean, let our lives be a shout out to Him. Okay, look for opportunities to shout out for Him, to acknowledge Him publicly. You know, my sister-in-law, who's sitting here, I love it whenever she tells a story. Often she'll start with the sentence, I really thank God that, and then she goes on with her story. So be on the lookout when God does something that alerts you, oh, that's great, or God did something that defied natural explanation, or He did something that accomplished something that was beyond your capabilities, beyond your abilities. Somehow you've prayed for it, and you know it was His answer. Okay? Maybe He came to your rescue. Don't just sit there and accept it silently, right? Give a shout out to Him. This year I had the opportunity to celebrate my birthday, and when you are this old, they ask for a speech, right? After you blow out your candles. So this year, I was able to say, I almost didn't make it to 52, right? So as I blew out my candles, I gave a shout out to Him. Because, some of you know I had a near fatal accident in February. But the Lord preserved me. So I made it to 52. So I gave Him a shout out. So, in other words, when someone praises you for a job well done, tell them the story. Say, well, God be praised. Or say, oh, I thank God for that because, and then you tell them the story. Okay, by doing so, we counteract the tendency of forgetfulness and ingratitude, okay? This tendency is very human. It is actually in our culture. If you don't believe me, watch what happens after Thanksgiving Day, especially in the States. We have a tendency to forget. But as believers, okay, we're called ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven. We who live on earth, we do need to be purposeful to shout out our testimony with that genuine spirit of joy. Why? Because we're grateful. So one possible New Year resolution, possible, okay? Mull it over. I'm not saying do this, do that, okay? We're not legalistic here. I'm saying one possible one is I'm going to give God more shout-outs in my day-to-day conversations, okay? That could be something we can attempt. More shout-outs. You know, instead of just sharing in the complaining and whining spirit that is around, you know, when you go out to the office by the cooler, usually it's the complaining and whining. Even at my gym when we're in the lineup, you can hear everybody's injury and aches and pains. But just lining up there for 5 minutes before you get to class. Now, I also must pause. I have to pause here and talk about verse 1. Because for some of you, when verse 1's read in the NASB, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth, you're saying, Ilse, that is not possible. I can't do it in this moment. I'm experiencing too much heartbreak, too much sadness. But earlier we read the New Century Version where it says, shout to the Lord. You can do that. In fact, I encourage you to do that. You might not feel joy right now and you might not have strength, but the joy and strength will come. You see, there's a Bible story that has been etched deep into my being. I'll encourage you to read that in your own free time, but I'll just give you a small taste of it. It's in 1 Samuel 30. It's a story of incredible pain. I would say somebody there hit rock bottom, okay? It features King David before he was king. So at the time, he was being hunted by Saul. Now I'll recap quickly. Okay, David and his troops, they used to live in Philistine territory, which is enemy territory, and they were working as mercenaries, right? They were fighting for the Philistines. They often would help out the Philistine army. And one day, the Philistine says, okay, we want to go attack Israel. And you know, King David, well, at that time he wasn't king. He was from Israel. So many of the commanders said, okay, we can't have this guy. We can't have this guy among our troops. They thanked him for his service because they didn't trust him, rightly so. Now, they said bye-bye. And so David and his troops went back home. It's a three-day journey. So they marched home. Their home at that time was Ziklag. And when they got there, they found a horrific, heartbreaking scene. Their homes were burnt down. The entire camp was burnt down. All the women, the children, the elderly, they were all missing. Okay, later in the Bible, we know where they went. Okay, it was the Amalekites that had carried them off. But just imagine the horror. Can you imagine the pain? In fact, the Bible describes that type of pain. 1 Samuel 30, verse 4, in that story it says, so David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. Later in that, about verse 6, the story goes on. It says that the men became bitter in spirit because of their loss. And what did they want to do? They wanted to stone David because they had pinned all the blame on him. Okay? Well, that's very human. We humans do that as well. You see it when coaches get fired from hockey teams. You see it even in churches when something goes wrong. It's not often that you see a major swell at the prayer meeting because people are going to pray defensively and intercede. No. Usually they're going to start a rumor mill of blaming, 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 right? So this is what was happening in the camp. All this negativity. But yet, in this negativity and in this pain, when David hit rock bottom, in the same verse, in verse 6, it says, David, where did he go? He found strength in the Lord his God. David is the author of many psalms. And David, from life experience, knew what happens when you turn to God and when you seek God. You will find strength, not in the circumstances, okay? All the women, the children, they're all missing. You will find strength, not in the circumstances, but in the Lord himself. You see, David was able to climb out of despair, out of the pain, to strength in God, in the God who is, in the great I am. That's where he found strength. He was able to move from pain to prayer to praise. That's when you find strength. When you're able to still praise the God who has never changed. When you move from pain to prayer and then to praise. Many of the Psalms actually read like that. This happens when you yourself come before God in a personal way and engage in a personal connection with him. It needs to be personal. No one else can do it for you. So my dearest hurting brother or sister, I know there are some that are sitting here. When you read verse 1 and it talks about shouting out to the Lord, shout to him. When tragedy haunts and steals away your peace, turn to him. Turn to the Lord, your God. Now, some of you are curious about that story in 1 Samuel 30 and how it turned out. Go read that yourself. It's a very wonderful story. It has a happy ending. Okay, so the point is, in verse 1, it says, shout out to God. C.S. Lewis wrote, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. So yes, whether you are joyful today or not, verse 1 still applies. Shout to the Lord. No matter what emotion you're feeling, shout to the Lord because of what verse 5 says. And next year, Pastor Arthur is going to preach on verse 5. Verse 5 stands in that verse, an unshakable truth. And that truth never changes. So stay tuned for that. And if you're the impatient kind, just Google Hesed on the Bible Project and you'll know more. Moving on to verse 2. Verse 2 has the next word. It says, serve the Lord with jubilation. Come before him with rejoicing. A Bible commentator said that worship leads to service, and true service is worship. So I went and looked at different Bible translations, and this is of the same verse, and this is what I found. The NESB, which we just read, is serve the Lord, right? But if you look at NIV, that's the Bible I usually use, it says worship the Lord with gladness. And if you read it in the NET, it says worship the Lord with joy. So which word is it? Is it serve? Is it worship? I had to look it up. You see, the scripture translators use the word serve and the worship interchangeably because they're actually two sides of the same coin. The Greek word for worship even conveys the idea of service. You know, that was a new concept to me. So I'm very thankful that I had this opportunity to prepare this sermon this week. But let's think on that. See, when you serve the Lord, you are participating in the worship of the Lord. That's what it means, right? The psalmist means that you must be active, that you somehow must participate. Worship is not a spectator sport. Repeat that with me together. Worship is not a spectator sport. I know that in North America we tend to think that is, right? Because when I ask questions like, hey, how was the worship? A couple weeks ago I was sick. Oftentimes we don't think, oh, God was served properly. No, usually we say, oh yeah, the worship was great. The AV person mixed the drums in just right. The sound was bad. Like, you usually hear reviews like that. That is a spectator mentality, right? But worship is not a spectator sport. In fact, every type of service to God must be rooted in worship. Why is that? Because acts of service rooted in worship actually become an offering of praise to God. And through this habit of worship, you know that God's people can actually find needed peace, joy, courage, and even energy for their responsibilities and most importantly, for their relationships. So back to our verse there in verse 2, serve the Lord with jubilation, or the other translations say with gladness. That's how we're supposed to do it. In fact, when we have this gladness, it's a sign of what? A grateful life. We're so grateful in doing God's work. We serve Him, right? Hear me clearly. I said we serve Him. ECSC is not about volunteering, by the way. You can go to your sports clubs for that. It's about serving the Lord Most High. We're not serving people, first and foremost. We're serving the Lord. And the motivation for serving in this verse is not grudgingly or guilt-ridden. No. It's out of abundant gladness. The words gladness and jubilation are there, right? It describes pleasant things that give you happiness. Hey, now let's get real. I understand this. You don't always feel, right? Feel like serving or worshiping. Yet, waiting until you feel grateful isn't a good plan either. Let me tell you right now. You might never serve. This psalm doesn't imply that you should only serve when your hearts are filled with joy. On the contrary, we are actually commanded to worship God, to serve Him regardless. And oftentimes, though, gladness will follow. I have a personal story of this, okay? So because the hardest place for me personally to display this servant attitude, you know, servant of God attitude, worshiping Him attitude, is in my own home, okay, with my own family, when especially they do not do something that I expect them to do. All right, moms, you know what I'm talking about. Okay? So then, it was my struggle, right? So then, I'm part of this Bible study called BSF. So in the notes a couple of weeks ago, it says, ask God, right? Ask God to help you think and respond to challenges in your family with the right attitude as His servant, you know, is serving the Lord. So, for example, this is actually what happened to me. I washed all the dishes, okay? And the kitchen was clean, like show home clean, okay? The way my husband likes it. So I went to bed. And I wake up early, okay? So at 6:30, I come down to drink my coffee. And I find the kitchen, two sinks full of dishes, a complete mess. Let me tell you, I did not feel like the servant of the Lord at that time. I thought, oh, this is not setting the right tone for the day. I stopped myself just because I read the BSF notes, right? So okay, it's like, think and respond like His servant. So I prayed. I asked the Holy Spirit, fill me with gratitude, praise, and courage to live for You today. So I prayed that. And do you know what happened? After I prayed, the dishes were still there. But the Holy Spirit whispered to me, is this real harm? Is life being threatened? Shocking, right? It just so happened that week we were in Revelation 7. Those of us who are studying Revelation in BSF, they were talking about martyrs. And I was learning about martyrdom and the servants of God. And the Spirit asked me, is this real harm? And I thought, it's not real harm. Right? My life is not being threatened. In the past, I used to joke when the kids were little and people were like, how was the day? I said, well, no one died. And I'm very famous for saying no one died. I kept the kids alive. Good job. So I thought, nobody threatened me. Let's calm down, right? Don't let Satan steal your joy is one of the things I love to say. So serving the Lord with gladness is not natural sometimes. It requires prayer. And that day I learned to pray for gratitude, praise, and courage. So I encourage you to do the same. But this is the possible New Year resolution, and that is I'm going to more actively serve Him with gladness. Okay, that comes from verse 2. Now verse 3, moving on quickly here. It says, know that the Lord Himself is God, and it is He who made us, and not we ourselves. We are his sheep and the sheep of his pasture. Okay, the word know is highlighted there. It means to know by experience. The Hebrew word for that is yada. And in English, we mean to say personal experiential knowledge, not just knowing about him. So when it comes to our personal God, it's not going to be just merely theological. And what are we supposed to know? Well, first of all, we have to know that he, Yahweh, okay, he alone is God. The word God there, I wrote the Hebrew word, is the term Elohim. It emphasizes the grandeur of God, the ruler supreme, right? So when we put the entire command together there in verse 3, it's the paraphrase would be something like this. Know by personal experience that Yahweh alone is the sovereign ruler over all. So this implies that on a personal level, firstly, I have to accept this truth. He is my sovereign. He is my king. He is my boss. Can we say that together? He's my sovereign. He's my king. He's my boss. That means I answer to him. The fancy word for that is just acknowledging that my role is submission. I'm not the boss. I'm not the boss. I'm not the boss of me. Submission. And when we surrender to this very first fact, life actually becomes much easier to understand, and joy takes the place of frustration often. So get to know him, my maker, our maker, the maker of my family, the maker of my spiritual home here, ECAC, the church family. You know, none of this is our own doing. We did not make ourselves here. It is God who made us and not we ourselves, the psalm says. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Now, as sheep, it talks about sheep, right? If we do not submit to our shepherd, you know what? We will stray into danger. So let's stay tuned in, to get to know our shepherd and what he's saying, his instruction. A verse that helped me the last month, again, through my Bible study, is in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. That's that verse where Peter was encouraging people because we're living in the end of time. He says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of what? Of the Bible? No, it doesn't say that. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Now, why doesn't it say the Bible? Because actually, all of us know far more of the Bible than we really live out. Let's be honest. Here it encourages us to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. Jesus is a person. Okay? And it's both things that we have to grow in. Because knowledge without grace is actually a terrible weapon. And grace without knowledge is incredibly shallow and can be hurtful. But when we combine grace and knowledge of our Lord as a person, a personal shepherd, like this verse says, we then have a proper tool for building up our lives and each other's lives, right? So here's the time to suggest the third possible New Year resolution, and that's this. I'm going to get to know him more intimately. Get to know him more intimately this year. Let's get to the last action verse. And that is verse 4. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courtyards with praise. Give thanks. That's the action. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. The Hebrew command there for give thanks is just a single verb. It says thank. Okay? Thank him. This is more than just, oh, thank you for the blessing. You know, right before you eat. No, this depicts something specific. Name something specific. You must have a specific reason for gratitude, as in you're telling a story acknowledging God as the hero. Be specific, because that helps us cultivate a grateful heart. In fact, cultivating a grateful heart is actually no small issue when it comes to God. One of the signs of the last days is ingratitude. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 5, there's a whole long list of attributes that mark the dark days of the end of time. And you know, ungrateful is actually on the list. So we here, we have to guard against becoming part of an ungrateful, thankless generation. So giving thanks is important. Why? Verse 5 says, "For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his faithfulness is to all generations." So yeah, be specific by naming where exactly you experienced his goodness. In what exact situation did you personally experience his mercy? And where did you see his faithfulness today? That's what it means. I've been trying to practice this verse, and I actually bought a gratitude journal because it says thank him, right? So I started my day with that. It looks like this, if you guys want to come take a look. It has like space for three things, a date, and three things you start your day off being thankful. And I'll tell you, I'm very undisciplined and very forgetful. I actually have to put it in the drawer right next to my coffee maker, so I have a Keurig. I've tested this. And as the coffee drips, I take out this book, and I start my day writing three things down that I'm grateful for. I've noticed that if the book moves, and let's say it goes to where my Bible is or I do my Bible study, I sometimes forget it. It actually has to be right by the coffee maker. So that's how I have to do it, but you get to figure it out yourself. But here is the fourth possible resolution, that is, I'm going to thank him. Simply thank him more deliberately. Okay, I did it with this book, but you do it your own way. If we do any of this, any of these four possible, I think it will influence us. It will influence us, our spiritual well-being, but also the next generation. Because instead of imitating the world, we will find ourselves led by the Spirit to be more humble, more joyful, more submissive to the Lord, and more thankful to the Lord. And guess what? Those around us, they will see this. And imagine the transformation it'll be in 2025. Improved spiritual health. Now, yes, I know some of you say, I don't make resolutions, okay? I don't keep any, so I don't make them. So let me give you a tip. You know what helps keep resolutions? One word. Accountability. So tell somebody about it. Choose one to do, or maybe all four. Some of you are very ambitious. Take a picture of the slide. Pray about it. Choose at least one. And then tell somebody about it. Then they can check up on you. Okay? That's all for the New Year's resolutions that I wanted to talk about. Let's pray.